taken from Perek Daled of Malachim Beis. And that perek tells us two different incidents involving the Navi Elisha. The first is a case simply where a woman who is Achas Minashe B'nei HaNaviim, right, comes before Elisha crying and saying that her husband has died, and now her sons are going to be taken as slaves for ransom. It doesn't exactly tell us who this is, nor does it tell us the background, but this is, as you find the Targum writes, and as Rashi writes, and as the Radak points out, this is all an extension of what is found earlier in Malachim Aleph and Perek Yirches. Here you find the following, that there was an individual who was Avadya, that we know that subsequently was a Navi, who was in charge of the entire bayis, the entire household of Achav. And here the Navi testifies in Perek Yirches of Malachim Aleph that Va'avadyahu Hoya Yareyas Hashem Ma'od, that he was characterized as being a person who possessed real Yiras Hashem. Right? The title of having Yiras Shemayim is very common in our days, but throughout Tanakh it's a very rare accolade. You only find four individuals who are called Yirei Hashem. Right? It's Yosef and Avram, and Eov and Avadya. Those are the only ones you find throughout the entire Tanakh that are called individuals who possess real Yiras Hashem. Right? In Akedah it says Avram is Kirelo Kimata. In fact, that's one of the links that you find between the Kriya Satorah of the Shabbos and the Haftorah, that Avram Avinu was called the Yirei Hashem, and Avadya in the Haftorah also is called the Yirei Hashem. So here also it tells us that this woman said that Avdacha, my husband who has died, was Yirei Hashem. So who was this? So this is what the Targum points out. It was Avadya. This is how the Targum knows it. This is what Rashi writes in the very first pasuk of the Haftorah. Who was this Neshe B'nei HaNaviim? It was Eshes Avadya. Right? How do you know that? Again, because it's called Yirei Hashem. Even furthermore, that the Medrash points out that the other three were called Yirei Hashem, Yirei Elohim. There was only one person that was called that Yirei Hashem Me'od. Right? Me'od was only mentioned when it came to Avadya. What is it that Avadya did? So if you look at Malachim Aleph and Perek Yirches, you find that there was that Vayehi B'Hachris Izevel Es Nevi'ei Hashem, that Izevel went ahead and cut off all the Nevi'ei Hashem, and they were simply, the Nevi'im, were in a situation of life and death. And therefore, Vayikach Avadyahu Mea Nevi'im, he took 100 of the Nevi'im, and Vayach B'Eim, and he hid them, and Chamishim Ish B'Ma'ara, and Vakilkele Mechum Amayim. He hid them in two groups of 50, and he sustained them throughout this entire time. As a result, Avadya, who was wealthy, became impoverished. It was necessary for him to go to the Melech in order to go ahead and borrow money in order that he could sustain this 100 Nevi'im. And even though he was completely impoverished, he did so. This is what Rashi writes right in the second part of this pasuk. That what is it that this woman is crying to Elisha? That her husband has died, and my husband was Yirei Hashem. And now the one who is persecuting, the malve, right, the lender, is now coming to take my sons as slaves. What is this? So Rashi points out that is Yehoram ben Achav, Shahayu Malvehu Beribis, Mashir Zon Es Hanavim Bimei Aviv. Rashi is referring to that incident that you have in Malachim Aleph and Perek Yirches. But Avadi was supporting and sustaining 100 Nevi'im, and therefore he was impoverished. It was necessary to borrow money. There was no one who would even lend him money to do this. So he borrowed money even with ribis from the Melech Yisrael, paying interest. Even though normally that is forbidden, well, under these conditions it was because of Pikuach Nefesh, to save the Nevi'im who were starving. And that was the Mesiras Nefesh that Avadya had. Ultimately we know that one of the Svarim of Tanakh is saved for Avadya, right, that he was Zochet to Nevuah, and this was an act of tremendous chesed that Avadya and his wife did in order to sustain the Nevi'im. As a result, he couldn't pay back the loan, and he died, and now the Melech was coming to take their sons as a type of collateral, as slaves. Now obviously this also is Shalokidin. This is not allowed. If a person all owes you money, the Torah has so many details in Sefer Shmos and in Sefer Dvarim about how you treat a person that owes you money. That Bachutz Tamod, you have to go ahead and treat him in a dignified way. You're not allowed to take a collateral from an almana. You're not allowed to take any collateral from a poor person, right? That is improper. And That's what the Gemara discusses in Bava Metzia and Daf Kuf Tes Vav, that Almana Bein She'aniya Bein She'ashira Einu Mashkin Nosa. You certainly can't take any collateral from an Almana. And here the Melech was coming to take from this Almana her sons as slaves. That of course is improper. So this was Yehoram ben Ahav. He was one of the Malchai Yisrael. And this also was a sign of the Rishus that was going on during this time. That this is another parallel that you find that seems to be exhibited between the Parsha and the Haftorah. That Avraham Avinu was very much alone in his war against the corruption that was around him, Sodom and Amorah, and how much he fought alone in order to try to go ahead and conquer. And you have a very similar parallel here, that you have a Melech Yisrael who is making this terrible demand on the wife of a Navi who has just died to take improperly her sons as slaves, and he alone was fighting this whole battle. He was supporting the 100 Navim by himself. So this is the background that you have. This is what the Targum writes, that Avdacha Avadya Balimes. It is Avadya who has died. And this is what Rashi writes. The Radak quotes the whole story in this Targum. And the link that you find to know that this is Avadya is again that key tip of Yireas Hashem, because very few people in Avi is mentioned or called those who possess Yireas Shamayim. So she went to Elisha, to the Navi, right, with this story. What can be done? So that's what the Navi continues, Vayomer leha Elisha. So Elisha says to her, that Ma esala, what is it that I can do for you? How can I make it possible that you will go ahead and be able to sustain yourself? So he said to her, that Hagidili ma yeshlof babayis. Tell me what you have in your house. What is it that you have that I can possibly go ahead and multiply? And Vatomer, ein l'shivchascha kol babayis ki im osuf shaman. So the response was, is all I have left is a little bit of shemen, a little bit of oil. There is a comment that the Malbim has, that there's a medrash that says that Avadya hayir madlik tamid shem livnei hanaviyim asher balayla, right? That Avadya would always supply oil to make sure that even though these Navim were in the cave, he would make sure that they had sufficient oil, that they would always have light when it was necessary, because of course the cave is always pitch black without that. And therefore the nace that Elisha performed was Mida Keneged Mida, that she was given an abundance of oil, because that they always made sure to provide the Bnei Hanavim with this during their time of trouble. So again, Elisha goes and asks her, what is it that you have? And she responds, an Asuch Shemen. So therefore she is told to go ahead and to take all of the kalim that you have, get as many utensils as you can together, and a nace will occur, and there will be an abundant flow of shemen that will fill up all of the kalim. Right? Oil was something that was precious, was expensive, and therefore she was able to go ahead and take the value of that oil and go ahead and pay back the debt, and therefore her sons were not ransomed. That's the story that you find. Right. Right, so this is a very interesting medrash that you find. The medrash is here bothered. It's a Zohar that you have in Parshas Yisro, but it's a very common thing. Why was it necessary for Elisha to say to her, Ma yesh lach habayis? We discussed this a bit in Parshas Bereishis. Why was it so important for him to say, what do you have in the house? And that will become more abundant. So there's a Zohar that you find in Bereishis and a Zohar in Parshas Yisro, a Taz that you have in all places of Hilchos Chanukah. The Taz is bothered in Siman Tafresh Ayin and Shulchan Aruch by the following problem. The Beis Yosef and the Meiri before that asked a very simple question, and that is, if we know in the time of Chanukah that there was a single pach of shemen that they found, and instead of burning for a single day, it burned for 8 days, so that means, the Meiri point out, that the miracle occurred on 7 days. So why is it that you celebrate Chanukah for 8 days? That's the question that the Meiri raises, and that's the question of the Beis Yosef. Many different answers are given. Why that should be. Why was there a nace on the first day of Hanukkah if they had oil to burn for the first day and it burned? So the Taz writes that the answer is the following. This is the very first Taz in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Hanukkah. He says this, that the nearly Litarates, he says, according to me, the real answer is the following. It must be that even on the first day of Hanukkah a nace occurred. Why? Because Dematzinu b'sefer Zohar, because we find in the Zohar al ha-pasuk ma yesh lach babayis, we find in the pasuk here in Malachim in this Haftorah that she'ein hu yisparach osen neis litein bracha ela b'mash yesh kvar ba'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer performs nisim from nothing. the nace of Yeshmeyai in the Zohar said was only limited to Briyas HaOlam. Right? The Pasuk says, V'yom HaShvi Shavas V'Nafash. But after Briyas HaOlam, literally HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shavas. Shavas doesn't mean to rest, it means to stop. Shavas Kol Mesosam. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped creation. The question is, in what sense is that true? We always recite the davening that HaMachadesh B'Tuvo, V'chol Yom Tamir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly recreates. In what sense was there a cessation of creation post Yimei Breishis? So the Zohar answers the difference is Yeshmi Ayin as opposed to Yeshmi Yesh. That Briyas HaOlam was creating something from nothing. That only existed, the Zohar says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Anything subsequent to that was a recreation. HaMachadish B'tuvah B'chol Yom Tamid. Taking something that already exists and making it more abundant. He says that's exactly Pshat in this Haftorah. That's what the Zohar says. That it was necessary for Lisha not simply to snap his fingers and to say that something is created from nothing. That only occurred during Briyas HaOlam. However, afterwards, that was a nace of Yeshmi Yesh. That's why you find, for example, Nisim and Chomesh, that Moshe is told, take a matah, and the matah was transformed into a snake. Nisim are of abundance, of transformation, of extension, but not something which is Yeshmi Yayin. So that's why Elisha had to say, what do you have? Take what you have and make that more abundant. So therefore, this is what the Taz writes. Necessarily, it must have been that there was something in the house that extended. And the same thing when it comes to Hanukkah. If it would have been the case that on the first day, the Taz writes, all of the Shemen would have completely have been burned, then the nace would have been as a Yeshmeyayin. What would the nace have been? To take something that doesn't exist and to allow it to exist? That could not have been the nace. That's what the Zohar says. So the nace was that even on the first day, not all of the Shemen burned, and therefore Shemen was left that could become more abundant. So even on the first day, there must have been an nace on Chanukah, and that's what he writes. Okay? That this is the pasuk, Mayesh Luchi Babayesh, She'in Hu Yisparach Osa Nace Litein Bracha, Ela B'mashish Kvar Ba'olam. And Afibahu Davar Mu'at, even if it's something that's very small, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it, he will give us a bracha that something which is small can be a Tosefes Bracha L'Harbos. But the Davar Reikam, something that is completely empty, in Shayech Bo Bracha, Lasos Birya Chadasha. You can't simply Yeshmiayim create something that doesn't exist. That's why we always say in the Mo'ez Tzura that Umi Nosar HaKankanim. Nosar HaKankanim means the remnant of the Shemen became abundant. It was necessary to have a remnant there because that is Pshat in the Haftorah. That's what the Zohar writes and that's what the Taz mentions. This I also mentioned in Parshas Bereishis. This is really quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Pei. The Mechaber really quotes this. Right? It's an important halacha to keep in mind. That the Mechaber writes in Siman Kuf Pei of Arachayim, Ve'ein lahasir hamakav halechem aracha berchas hamazon. Before a person engages in Birchas HaMazon, you have to make sure your table is not empty. This is the Zohar, that you're not allowed to bench on a psor reikanya on an empty table. So if a person is going ahead and eating, you have to make sure that some bread is on the table at the time of Birchas HaMazon. So what's the source of this? Right? So the Mishnah Berurah comments as follows, Kadei Shehei Nikar, in order that it is apparent, V'chol HaMavarchim, the purpose of the Birchas HaMazon is to pray for the Kodesh Baruch Hu for giving us sustenance. Now, v'gam, dehabracha eino shova al gavareik, right? And a bracha will not be chal on something which is empty, yesh mi'ayin. And therefore, only when you have pas on the table can you now recite the Birchas HaMazon to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, saying, take what we have and multiply it. Parnaseinu v'chal kolenu sustain us. And that's what the Brewer says, that Ke'en, just like the Pach HaShemen of Elisha, just like found in the Shabbos' Haftorah. Right? So this is an important concept, that you have to make sure to have bread on the table. The Zohar writes, if your table is completely empty and you're benching, it's as if that you're saying, I have nothing and give me something. And that Elisha wasn't willing to do. That was my Yeshlach Babayis. You have to have something which is present. So halacha l'maaseh, you always have to make sure to have some bread which is on the table. It can either be a piece of bread or it can be a full loaf of bread. There is one caveat that the Mechaber mentions, that there was a minhag of Avodah Zarah, that before they would recite their grace, they used to bring a full loaf of bread to the table. So therefore the Mechaber writes, if you have bread on the table, that's fine, even if it's a full loaf of bread. The one thing you should not do is if you notice that the table has already been cleared, He can't go into the kitchen and now take out a full loaf of bread and bring it to the table, because that resembles a minhag avodah zarah. So if you're going to bring something in to where you're benching because now there's nothing left, it has to be a slice, it can't be a full loaf. This is really halacha l'maisa. It doesn't only apply in Shabbos, and Yom Tov applies every time you recite Berachas HaMazon. We're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Parnaseinu V'Chalkaleinu. So you should always make sure that there is something on which a bracha can be chal. That's what the Nase of Chanukah was, that was the Nase of Elisha here, and that's what we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time when it comes to Berachas HaMazon. It's best to have something more substantial. Like the Mishnah Berurah writes, it should be Nikar, that this is on what you are reciting the Berachas HaMazon. So it should be something that otherwise is not just left randomly. And everybody eats their little bit of crumbs that are there, but something should be purposely designated for the purpose of Berachas HaMazon. It's an important halacha to keep in mind. So again, so Elisha said to her, what is it that you have in your house? She responded that he has shemen, and therefore the nais occurred. It's interesting that in Pasuk Dalet it says, uvas, that you should go into your house, in visagart hadeles ba'adech uva'ad bonayich, and close the door, and then v'yatzaka kol ha'kelim ha'ela, then go ahead and pour from this pitcher into all the kelim, and you will see v'hamalei tasi'i, that they will all be filled with abundant oil. Elisha went out of his way with telling her that you have to make sure that the door is closed. This is a very interesting concept when it comes to Nisim. This also may be an important link that you find between the Kriya Satorah and the Haftorah. Rashi here points out, why is that so important? The Sagar Tadeles, right? Kavod Hanesu, Lavo Bahatsnia, that it's considered to be fitting that Anes should be done privately. We'll see in the end of the Haftorah that if this is violated, Anes doesn't occur. Anes in a certain way, in this case, it's similar to Nevuah. We know that many times a Navi can experience Nevuah. So as the Rambam writes at length in Mar Nevuchim, that a Navi is not allowed to transmit the Nevuah in any other way than he is told. If a Navi is told to transmit Nevuah, he is obligated to do so. It's usher to be Kovish Nevuah so. It's certainly forbidden for a Navi to make up Nevuah that he hasn't heard. And even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a Navi Nevuah, and he doesn't tell him that, Lemor, go tell this to Bnei Yisrael, he is not allowed to publicize, right, the Nevuah that he has received. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can tell you something privately, and unless he tells you that Kol Soma LeBnei Yisrael, that you have an obligation to say it, you are not allowed to. The Nevuah can be private, the Nevuah can be public as well. Similarly, this is what Elisha says, that a nes is about to occur, but make sure that it is done in a private fashion. You cannot go ahead and publicize that this is happening. In fact, there are some midrashim that seem to make a very startling observation that Avraham Avinu was told already when he had said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bris Ben Avisarim that you have promised me everything and yet you haven't given me any son. Yishmael is going to be the one who's going to be the Zera Avram. Now, we've discussed at length that the Torah always makes a distinction between the manner in which it refers to Yitzchak as opposed to the manner in which it refers to Yishmael. It always calls Yitzchak ki Yitzchak yikar lacha Zara. Yitzchak is always referred to as the Zera Avram, and Yishmael is always referred to as Beno, as the Ben Avram. So this is an important distinction that we discussed last week. Tosis mentions this in Yevamos and Daf Beis, that the term ben in Chumash means a biological child, irrespective of their yichus. If you have given birth to them, that is called a ben. Even if the son is not worthy, even if the son is a mamzer, for example, it doesn't matter. That is called a ben. Zera means zera kosher, velo zera pasul. So Avraham Avinu already knew ki v'yitzchak yikar lacha zara, that he will have descendants through Yitzchak. And yet he was told to go ahead and to go through with the Akedah. That was what the Gemara points out. That's like Shnei Ksuv Machishim says, a contradiction. On the one hand, Avraham Avinu was told that there was Nevuah, that he would have a son Yitzchak, and Yitzchak would be Zera. Zera means a continuum of the generations. Ben means a single generation. But Zera means Midor L'dor. Right? That's true when it comes to all the Pesukim. The Zera Eima means she doesn't have any descendants. Right, in the case of Yibum, if you have a grandchild, right, Uben Eima, the Gemara says, that's the question. Would that exempt you from Yibum or not? Right, because Ben means a single generation, Zera always means many generations. So Avraham Avinu already knew Benavur that he would have Yitzchak and that he would lead several generations. Nowhere in the Chumash is it ever mentioned that Avraham Avinu conveyed this message to Sarah. In fact, Sarah was very distressed at the time of Akedah. Right? The Midrashim say, as Rashi quotes, that because of the thought that Avram was going to be okay Yitzchak, so she died. It seems very strange that he never said to Sarah that, don't worry, Kiv Yitzchak Likar Chazer, that we have such a Havtacha. Right? And there is no mention. And you never find, after the Akedah is over, it seems to be so anticlimactic in the sense that the Torah just says, okay, that Akedah was finished, and they went back, and you never hear about it again. So this is what the Midrashim point out. The Ran emphasizes this, that this was Nevuah that Avraham Avinu had, that Kiv Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazera. And unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells a Navi that you are obligated to publicly transmit Nevuah, you are not allowed to go ahead and do so. This was a secret that Avraham Avinu had, that he would have a son Yitzchak and Kiv Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazera, and that will be perpetual. And he didn't even share it with anyone. He may not even share it with Sarah. This is a link that you have with the Haftorah as well, that Elisha comments right now that a nes is going to happen. Make sure that this is something which is done privately, the Sagar Tadeles. And we'll see in the end of the Haftorah, right, that involved, right, the student of Elisha, Gehazi. Gehazi winning around bragging about the fact that he was about to perform a nes. And what happens then of the Haftorah? It didn't happen. Rashi writes that the nes did not occur because he violated, he breached this secrecy, that he publicized what was about to occur. So far, this is the requirement that he mentions. First, that you have to have something on which a nes can be chal. And the second is that these types of nisim, unless you're told by a Kadosh Baruch Hu to make them public, it is something that has to be done, which is privately. And sure enough that the nes occurred, right, and the shemen became abundant, all of the kelim were filled, and the wife of Avadi was able to pay back the debt, and therefore she was able to see to it that her sons were not sold into slavery. Again, it's a very striking, right, it's a contrast that you find, that the whole parsha discusses elements of chesed. Normally there's very little that we can learn from the avos when it comes to areas of halacha. That's what the Rambam always writes, that when it comes to halachos, you have to look at Har Sinan. That's the Rambam writes in Chulin Daf Kuf Mefirsh Mishnayos. The reason we do Bris Milah is not because Avraham Avinu did Bris Milah. It's because in Parshas Tazria, we are commanded to do Bris Milah. When it comes to mitzvos, we always look to Moshe Rabbeinu. When it comes to a model, a paragon of midos and chesed, you always look to avos. And here, right, whereas Avraham Avinu personified chesed, you find in the Haftarah that even the Malchi Yisrael were so against that. The notion that the Melech Yisrael would take children as slaves who are the children of the Nevi'im because they were trying to sustain other Nevi'im, right? Something which is very, very foreign. And another link that you have with the Parsha is the reward for Chesed. That just like Avram and Sar ultimately received such great reward because of the Chasadim that they did, that they were considered to be the Av Hamon Goyim Nesaticha, so too that Avadia and his wife ultimately received the great Schar and Rezocha to Nevuah because of the Chesed that they did, that they were able to go out of their way to this extreme way and sustain the Nevi'im, even that they knew that there would be terrible risk. That's the first incident that you find in the Haftarah. Then the Haftarah continues in Pasuk Ches with another one. That Vayi Hayom Vayavar Elisha El Shunem, that Elisha went to the city of Shunem, and there was there an Isha Gedola, right, who grabbed him in order to make sure that Elisha would come and he would feast at her home. Again, an example of Hachnasas Arachim, that Elisha was going from city to city, and this woman always opened up her home, right, to Elisha. This also was a link to the acts of chesed that you find again, that even though you don't learn mitzvot from others, but we certainly learn hachnasas arachim, we certainly learn the bikur cholim, nichum aveilim, that we all learn from Sefer Bereishis. So the parsha begins with Avraham Avinu standing outside for an opportunity of hachnasas arachim, even though this is, as Rashi writes, a day that he was in great pain, Yom Shlishi Limilaso. So similarly, the Haftorah is about to tell us about a woman who was rewarded for going out of her way in order to be Machnis Vareach of Elisha. Right? Vatomer Elisha, she went and told her husband that he neino yadati ki isha lokim kadoshu over aleinu tamid, that this is a very holy person she was able to recognize. The Medrash points out that women, even more than men, are able to recognize holiness. And therefore she went to her husband and said, this is an Ish Kadosh, this is a Navi, right, who constantly is passing through our area. It is necessary that we have to be Machnis Oreach, and even more than that, we have to designate a place. This has become a Yiddish expression that when a person comes to shul very late, they always say jokingly that he's an ish kodesh over aleinu tamid. Such a holy person, he always even misses aleinu. But the expression is taken from the pasuk that Elisha, the ish kodesh, is coming to them. What did they do? This was the extent of the hachnasas arfim. Again, in the paragon is Avram and Sarah. That nasana aliyas kir ketana v'nasim lo sham mita v'shulchan achisei menorah v'hayi babo aleinu yasur shama. Let's make a special room for him. A special room that no one else will use. It will be just for him. And in that room will be a mitala shulchan akise menorah. Right? Normally, the furniture that you have in a house. There are midrashim, in fact, that point out that he was an ish kadosh, and therefore they felt it is necessary to house him properly. Just as, for example, the Malvin points out, kaviyachol, v'yasali mikdosh v'shachanti v'salchan. When we are obligated to make a mishkan that is supposed to be a place of hashras hashina for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as a mikdash ma'at, so to speak, when you have a navi, so this Isha Gedola felt that it is necessary to house him in that way. And just like the mishkan and Beis Hamikdash has a shulchan and a kiyor and a kisei and a kanon and a mizbeach and so on, this is exactly how what they went ahead and furnished the house. And whenever he would come, he would always come to that place. Right. It's interesting. It never mentions right who it was. It mentions that the Isha Gedola, she was known for her righteousness, right? As the Rishonim point out, but it doesn't mention who it was. It could perhaps be based on what was previously mentioned, that there is a conscious effort to conceal, right, many nisim that occur. We always say in davening that amisecha shebechol yom imanu, that nisim constantly occur. Right, we're mamash unaware of, and that could be part of the reason that it's done, because we'll see in the Haftorah at the end that this was the problem that Gehazi violated. Right, that also, right, sneers as well as, right, I think the issue of names, right. So what happened? So she was going ahead and housing this navi. So Gehazi, who is the assistant to Elisha, says that, you know, what can we do for this woman? Right, she's doing so much for us. How can we reciprocate? And the woman was asked, and she said nothing. That she doesn't want anything at all. That's the real act of chesed. But the reason, for example, that kfuras hameis is always referred as chesed shel emes is because kfuras hameis, you never anticipate anything in return. When I do something that I'm a chavero, very often my motivation is because that, you know, when I need it, I'll come to him, so therefore I'm helping him. But kfuras hameis is always referred to levi as chesed shel emes because obviously the person can't reciprocate. But nonetheless, you're willing to help someone out without any strings attached. So this was again the act of chesed that you had. That here she was housing Elisha, and she demanded nothing in return. And even when she was asked, she said she doesn't need anything at all. However, Gehazi said to Elisha that, you know what, in Pasuk Yudalet, that ben ein lo, the isha zaken, that her husband is old, that she is old, and they don't have any children. So therefore, Elisha said that this will be a proper way to reciprocate. So Elisha said, they called her, and it was said to her in Pasuk Tezayin that Vayomer Lamoi Hazeh Ka'es Chaya, right, that As Chovekes Bein, that at this time next year, you will go ahead and you will, right, be holding a son. You will give birth to a child. Interesting, the Medrash points out, the Yalkut Shimoni writes that the ones who informed this woman that next year she would go ahead and have a baby were the same Malachim that came Levasseres Sarah. That this is another link that you have. That here you have Avram and Sarah who did not have children. And as a reward for the tremendous chassadim that they did, they were Zochah Shlo Kederach HaTeva to have a child. And here also this is exactly what happened. That this was supposed to be a way of reciprocation for the fact that the great chesed was shown. And even though the Isha Zakin, they were very old at that time, nonetheless the nes happened. And Medrash emphasizes this. The same Malachim for the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see to it that Avram and Sarah had Yitzchak. So they also saw to it that this would occur as well. So sure enough, Navi continues and says that this in fact occurred and she had a son. However, a problem arose in Pasuk Yitzchak. Right? The Navi continues and tells us that the child died. The child was out in the field together with the father and he was complaining that Roshi, Roshi. And the father said, Sa'el imo, bring him to the mother. And Vayamos, back in Pasachaf, that the child died. So immediately, that she went to Elisha, to be able to inform the Navi of what had happened and see what can be done. There's a very interesting pasuk in Chaf Gimel that when Elisha sees that she has come, so he says to her that Madua at Holechas Elav Hayom, why are you coming to her now? That Lo Chodesh Lo Shabbos, it's not Chodesh, it's not Shabbos, why are you coming now? This is interesting. This is the drasha that the Gemara has in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin, right? The Radak wrote that Lamdu Chazal Mizek Kichayivada Mahakro Pnei Rabba B'Shabbos of Regel. That there's a special mitzvah, just like there's a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel on Yom Tovim, there is also a mitzvah of Lahakro Pnei Rabba, that you should seek out, right, your Rebbe during this time. And therefore, they were very surprised to see this woman coming because it was Lo Chodesh, Lo Shabbos. It wasn't a Rosh Chodesh, it wasn't a Shabbos, and apparently the custom was Lahakro Pnei Rabba in those times. The Vilnagon has a comment that Shabbos here doesn't mean Shabbos, because Shabbos means Yantif. But we know Shabbos literally in Chumash means a day of rest, and it can refer to either Shabbos or Yantif. There's an obligation, the Rabbi writes Min HaTorah, of making Kiddush on Shabbos and also on Yantif, because the Pasuk says, Zachar Sima Shabbos Lekadsho, and Yantif is referred to as a Shabbos. We know you begin counting Sfiras HaOmer LeMachras HaShabbos, and it doesn't mean the day after Shabbos is what Tzedukim by Tusim said. Shavuos isn't always on a Sunday. It means the day after Yantif. Shabbos after Tzedukim. That's Shabbos. The Vilnagon writes, that's why the order of the Pasuk is such. Because we, of course, have a principle that Tzadir Rishenu Tzadir, Tzadir Kodem. Whenever you mention spans of time, the most common is always mentioned first. Meaning that Shabbos is infrequent compared to Chodesh. How is that possible? Shabbos here means Yantif. That's what the Vilnagon points out. That's the drush of the Gemara. That there's a special mitzvah of Lahakbo Pnei Rabo B'Yantif. Just like you visit HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Shalosh Regalim, you're supposed to go ahead and visit the Rebbe during the Shalosh Regalim. And this was the expression that they had, that how come you're coming now? So she said, I'm coming again, not on a normal visit. I'm coming to tell you what has happened, that the child has died. So what was the response of Elisha? So you find in later in the Haftar, in Pasuk Chavtes, that he turned to Gehazi. He said to Gehazi, go ahead, right, take care of it. That Chagor Masnefa, right, Bekach Mishanti B'yadcha Valech. Go ahead and prepare yourself. Take my staff, my stick, right, in your hand, and go. And now he warns him. This is the parallel to the beginning of the Haftorah. Kisim Sa'ish Lo Savarchenu. If anyone should come up to you, don't say a word to him. Right, V'chivrech Yish Lo Sonenu. And if someone should greet you, don't answer. Just go straight and go ahead to do that. Rashi points out that what was the purpose of this? Rashi again says that Einzek Kvod Hanes, when he's halobo, it is inappropriate to go ahead and to expose, to publicize, a nes that is going to happen. He didn't mean simply to tell him that when people come, just don't get distracted, go quickly. Right? That was obvious. It meant don't let anyone know, right, that a nes was about to occur. Right? Right?
If she was, people said before, mm-hmm. It said that she was asked, how is how you and how is your husband and your child, and she answered, Shalom.
Right.
Why did she answer, is that a mystery? Why did she say that everything is okay?
Right. There, she wasn't yet meeting up with Elisha. So at that point, it's true, she just said, Vatomer Shalom. But then, the pasuk continues, Mechafei, Vatelech Vatom Elisha Elokim. She finally, right, she got to him. She also mentioned Shalom, but there was an indication in her words that there was something that was missing. And Rashi points this out as well. That there was some indication in her words that he could already tell that something was improper, and immediately he sensed that was true, and therefore he went down. In a certain sense that she was willing to accept this if that would have been the outcome, but she didn't want to state something that was terrible. Rabbi writes that Ratzasa Liftoach Telara, that the person, she did not want to be the one bearer of bad tidings. If she could have simply conveyed the message in a more covert way, so that's what she did. So Elisha said to Gehazi, get everything ready, take the Mishanti and go ahead and perform this nes, but again, don't say anything to anyone. This is what Rashi points out again, as we see in the beginning of the parsha. Why is Sagar Hadeles? Because Ein Kavod Hanes Lihis Halobo, right? Because it is improper to flatter yourself that you are about to perform a miracle. And yet, what happened? Lo Asakein, Rashi says, right? And Gehazi didn't do that. Elachol Hashoalo. Anybody who stopped and said, "How are you? Where are you going?" Who Omer that Rebbe Shlachani v'achayosu sameis, that Elish ben Avi sent me to do a tchiyas sameisim. He was bragging about the opportunity. So as he mentioned that's kineged, the whole nevuah and the whole nesi was supposed to recite. That's why at the beginning of the haftarah you have it, and that's what Midrashim point out, which two of Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu never let anyone know about the akedah. It remained a secret. He didn't go ahead and share that nes, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him to do so. So again, what happened? Gehazi came, and he saw that the child had died, and he wasn't able to do anything. Right? Nothing helped. And now it was necessary then to get Elisha to come, because Rashi writes, since he breached the performance of the nes, so therefore he was unsuccessful. And therefore he had to go, and Elisha had to come. Vayav Elisha habayis avinehan armeis. And then Vayavo, Elisha came, and then the pasuk emphasizes again that Vayiskor Hadel es bad shnehem, Elisha came and closed the door. That's what Rashi mentioned. That was a contrast, not bragging at all, but doing the nes in a proper method of tznius, and then through tefillah, and then he was able to go ahead and revive the child. Right, that was the key. Very often, the Rambam writes that in order to be zocha to such nevuah, a person has to be, among other things, very, very humble. The Rambam writes that there are certain people, the Hamonam, who believe that nevuah can come to anyone, even if they're not zocha. The Rambam writes it's certainly not true. That our conception of nevuah is that you have to reach self-perfection to become a Navi. There's no guarantee that if you reach it, you will be a Navi. Rambam says that's what the philosophers believe, that if you reach a certain level of heightened perfection, automatically you'll attain Nevuah. The Rambam writes, self-perfection is necessary, but it's not sufficient, it doesn't guarantee Nevuah. And you see the difference in terms of the quality of Elisha and Avadya and Avram Avinu in contrast to the manner in which Gehazi acted. And therefore he was able to go ahead and to revitalize, this child. The Gemara says in Nida and Daf Ayin, it was a real case of a Tchiyas HaMesim. The Gemara has a few cases where the Chachmei Alexandria inquired of the Chachamim about certain details. When the Torah says, for example, that the wife of Lot really turned into Netziv Melech, a pillar of salt. So they wanted to know, did it really happen in the sense that she became a pillar of salt? They asked, was she Matami Lameis? Right? And the same thing about this child. When Elisha went ahead and revived her, was he still really dead? Did he really die and he came back to life? That's another link that you find between the Haftorah and the Parsha. The Chochmei Alexandria are very taken aback by this, that the wife of Lot turned into an Atziv Melech. The Gemara says, Nidin Dafayin. And here Elisha went and revived the child. And also the Gemara says, what kind of Kasha is that? Yes, she did turn into an Atziv Melech. And that's what happened, and she no longer was Matame Meis. And the child really was revived. It was dead and it came back to life. Right? That was the nes that occurred. But these are examples that you find in the Haftorah of the ability of Elisha to be able to do this, and the schus that the Isha Achas had, and the schus that Avadya had, all because of acts of chesed that they performed. This is the clear link that you find with the Parsha. The Parsha expresses at such length the acts of chesed on behalf of Avram and Sarah, what they did, and how they were zocha to Yitzchak, very much because of that. So too, this is what the Haftorah tells us, that that's why the wife of Avadya ultimately was saved in that way, and this woman as well was zocha to have the son that she did. No, it mentions what happened in the incident, that he was out together with the father, and he was burning in the sun, and he was yelling Roshi, Roshi, and finally he died. But there isn't a direct image from the psukim itself that what was the reason for that nisayon. But ultimately it came back. Okay. Right. It seems that it's alluded to in the fact that Elisha kept on stressing to him that don't do this, because apparently he was suspected, and all of a sudden that he was unsuccessful in his mission. And Elisha came and he was very successful. So it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the child to be revived, but apparently there was something wrong with the Shliach. And that's just alluded to in the warning that Elisha gives Gehazi.